AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Debt talks are starting at the White House, and President Biden says he is confident they can get a deal done.
We're optimistic we may be able to make some progress because we've both agreed default's not really on the table. We've got to get something done here.
CBS's Nicole Skanga is in Washington.
Our credit card, our debt limit, we have charged so much up that it's bigger than our economy.
Sources tell CBS News the White House is now offering to keep spending flat from this year to next. Republicans, they say, want to increase defense spending while cutting everything else by up to 22%.
I think we can get a deal tonight, we get a deal tomorrow, but you've got to get something done this week to be able to pass it and move it to the Senate.
Congress has less than 2 weeks to pass a deal. According to a new law in Idaho, the man suspected of killing four University of Idaho students last year could face a firing squad if he's convicted and ultimately sentenced to death. But CBS's Danya Backus tells us why that could be tough.
The big question here, of course, is motive. What they have to do is put reasonable doubt in one juror's mind, and that is enough for a hung jury.
CBS News analyst Jessica Levinson says no clear motive and absence of a murder weapon could strengthen any defense. Prosecutors now have 60 days to decide whether they'll go for the death penalty.
A not guilty plea was entered for him earlier today. In Atlanta, at least four people were injured when a crane partially collapsed on a construction site. Jeffrey Bean saw it happen from a nearby building.
It sounded like a really large truck zooming by, followed by a very large crash, loud enough to shake the whole building.
12 big airports across the country will have to divvy up more than $100 million to pay for improvements like more airfield lighting or new taxiways. The money's coming from the FAA to help reduce any confusion or accidents on runways. New York City says it can't afford to take on more migrants unless they get to work. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams says expedited work permits are needed for the thousands of asylum seekers arriving to the Big Apple on a weekly basis.
Right now, we are denying that opportunity by refusing to let them work legally.
He says the White House needs to step in to approve work permits, and the governor says they're necessary to get asylum seekers out of temporary shelters.
Tickets for Taylor Swift's Eras tour have been very expensive, but one fan in Foxborough is hoping to make some of that money back. You may not be able to quite hear it, but Taylor performed through another downpour over the weekend, and that fan started collecting the rain. She's now selling it on Facebook Marketplace for $250 a pop. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, your personal injury attorneys with over 35 years of experience. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. A Burlington teenager is dead after being struck by a train Sunday afternoon. Officials say Jack Myers was riding his bike when he disregarded warning cross signals and tried to cross the tracks anyway, at which point he was hit by the train. Myers was a junior at Burlington High School. The department is working with Canadian National on the investigation. A plan being considered would remove a section of Interstate 794 and replace it with a service street is getting pushback from South Milwaukee, Cudahy, and St. Francis. The communities say the change would significantly increase traffic times and also mean the loss of a Milwaukee Transit System freeway flyer route. Milwaukee's downtown 2040 comprehensive plan includes possible future plans to demolish a part of the freeway along Clybourne Street between Lincoln Memorial Drive and 6th Street. The project would add surface level street ramps. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson & Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
North Shore Healthcare is hiring. As the largest provider of post-acute care in Wisconsin, they offer skilled nursing and assisted living services, as well as home health and hospice care through North Shore at Home. They're looking for compassionate individuals who want to make a difference in the lives of those they serve. If you're a CNA, licensed nurse, administrator, or business professional and want to grow your career, visit nshorehc.com/careers to find out why North Shore Healthcare is the right choice for you.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Maybe pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dago. And this portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're blessed to have Arvenia Martin on again, the first Native person to, in Madison, Wisconsin's Common Council, serve as a alder from 2017 to 22, served as council vice president 2021, and now is executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. And that's an organization that trains Democratic women on how to run for office. Pini Gigi, thank you so much again for stopping in and checking in, and it's great to see you again.
Yeah, Pini Gigi, good to see you too. Hini Karagi.
Right on. Hey, good to hear that language going on. We got three Ho-Chunks on right now, and we're taking over the world here.
Yay.
Cool. So, what is going on? We, you know, we can talk a little politics and then jump into what you do and the support that you give women in running for office, which I feel like is just a huge deal. And you're also in belong in a national organization. So let's talk a little bit about what's happening here. You know, Trump is going to come down, go down? Are we going to turn blue in Wisconsin? What's happening? What do you see in your crystal ball here?
You know, I got burned in 2016 thinking about, oh yeah, but Trump will drop out once they make him, you know, turn in his or submit his taxes or whatever. He's not going to do anything. And then here he was the nominee and then got elected. So, I mean, he's such a wild card that I never kind of know what to expect with him. I do know that people in Wisconsin though are sick of the kind of divisive politics that he puts out, and that he runs on. But you know, what it comes down to is getting people out on election day, and Democrats and folks that are independent and folks that are really going to have to get to the polls, and we're going to have to, you know, work really hard to make sure we get those people out to vote, whether it is on election day or early vote. So, you know, it's all turnout that day. We work super hard for that one day, and fingers crossed we can keep up our efforts the way we have been. You know, the spring election had an incredible turnout for the Supreme Court race, and just, you know, we were all prepared to be staying up real late that night to you know, watch the returns. We weren't sure who was, you know, when we were going to find out. And we're thinking, oh, maybe not even that Tuesday night. Maybe we're going to have to wait. But, you know, 10:30 was around, and it was done. And she just won by Janet Protasiewicz, our incoming Supreme Court justice. It just won by such a landslide. She even won in areas considered red. She won the city of Waukesha, which is still astounds me. You know, she made a lot of inroads, and we have to keep up the work that we put in for the spring election. We've got to carry that momentum into next fall.
Wow, absolutely. There's two things that you said. One of them, I worked down the name Protasiewicz. She was on our show, and we also did some ads for her, and we feel responsible in helping that election. That's a really good point. Then I want to talk a little bit about, you know, when the primaries were happening in 2016, I told my wife, I'm saying, there's no way he's going to win this one. And like you said, the nightmare kept on going. And when he said that he could shoot somebody down Fifth Avenue and kill him and not get put in jail, he was absolutely right.
Absolutely. And it's, I mean, we are now, what, several years past that, you know, and it's still, to me, like, if somebody wrote a movie script and pitched it, they'd be like, no, this is absolutely absurd. It's not realistic. It's, you know, no one's going to believe anything like that would happen. And sure enough, you know, that's how it went. And, you know, I just, the entire 4 years during his term, I feel like every time I turned on the news, it was something just completely ridiculous and stuff that you'd never ever expect to happen, you know, in the U.S. or like with a president. And sure enough, they were happening, and it still boggles my mind. I still can't believe that we lived through that era.
Wow, and I hope we don't live through it again, because it sounds like he's leading the way. You know, and it's funny, I don't know if I said this last time we talked, but I'll never forget, he was president for a year, and it was like I saw this baseball cap, you know, on my feed on Facebook or whatever, and it was a red hat, and it said, "Make racists afraid again." And that's kind of, he ignited some kind of lower end people that maybe haven't had a voice and felt like they do have a voice, because 70 million people voted for him. And I know people who voted for him.
Yep. The same thing. And, you know, there were so, and I know many people who, and it breaks my heart to know that a lot of people didn't vote for Secretary Clinton because they just didn't like her or didn't like her husband. And instead of voting for the person who was competent, they voted for someone, he's not going to win anyways. And then he did. I mean, our vote is something so important to just kind of, you know, our choices are the names on the ballot. Basically, and one of them is likely going to win, unless you're a Ho-Chunk and you've got an 11-way primary for president and you get a write-in campaign.
That's right.
But to use your vote in such a way just makes me sad. It makes me sad that people thought like that, and that even today, we, you know, every time you hear a Republican congressman or senator or somebody, a pundit on TV, they'll be like, yeah, he's nuts. I can't believe he did this. Or, you know, that's not okay. Or he needs to condemn the actions of January 6th. And then the next question is always, well, will you vote for him? And they're like, well, probably. It's like, right. come on.
I know.
About this by not voting for him.
Well, there's a couple things too before we go on break. One of the things I got to not correct you, but I got to say, he has not won the popular vote yet. And that's a thing to think about when we're talking about, you know, campaign changing the laws and go to the popular vote instead of all this nonsense with electoral votes. And so it's, you know, yeah. And I'm just flabbergasted. And, you know, he might be running for president in prison and might get 70 million votes again.
As long as there's 70 million votes that are not, you know, and states that we need them to be. But, you know, I do think we have seen a lot of the backlash, you know, with the very outlandish candidates put forth by Republicans here in Wisconsin were not supported. And no one, they did very poorly at the polls.
And that's kind of a national trend right now. And let's hope that Gen Z's keep voting, because what a great bloc they've become. And hopefully our other aged relatives can join in, because the future is now. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Arvinia and Martin, and we're talking a little politics. I'm kind of reliving the worst dreams I had 7 years ago or 6 years ago, and it's good to talk, and we have to talk these out. And again, we were kind of ending on, well, and you're also the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin, which is definitely a huge deal here on Turtle Island, and to help support women, Democratic women, to run for office. I just have a quick question about that. Who have you worked with lately, or can you give some names of who your organization has worked with to help women start running for office? You were on mute, but I can see your lips moving.
We have two of our statewide electeds who are Emerge Wisconsin alums. Former state treasurer and current secretary of state Sarah Godlewski is an Emerge alum, as well as Department of Instruction superintendent. So public schools superintendent Jill Underley is one of our alums. And, you know, if you go into the state Senate, the minority leader, so the Democratic leader in the state Senate is Senator Melissa Agard. She's one of our alums. We have numerous members in both our state assembly and the state Senate. We actually got elected a new mayor in the city of Middleton, which is right next to Madison. For those who aren't familiar, the new mayor of Middleton is also an Emerge alum. We've got people all over the state. Robert, you and I were sitting at the Clean Lakes Alliance breakfast and event a few weeks ago, and almost every name that they announced was one of our alums. So we've got people everywhere, and we're looking to get more, especially outside of Madison in Milwaukee. We want to get folks up in Black River Falls and in Wittenberg and in Nakusa, up to Crandon and such. We need to get more Native people elected to bodies in our own tribal communities.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder what did she work with the group? Because, again, she kind of came out of, I'm talking about Charisse Davids, who's Ho-Chunk, who's been on the show many times. How did she get her start? Because I know she was in D.C. for a while, and I can't remember what she was doing, but...
She was a White House fellow, so she did she's an attorney by trade, so she did a lot of work. And I can't remember specifically policy what she did, but she did work as one of the White House fellows. Before that, she had, I believe, a podcast, and she did a lot of work with entrepreneurs and business startups. And she's just awesome. I remember when she let me know, sent me a message saying she was running for Congress. And I was like, where's your Act Blue? Let me donate money now. Mm-hmm. I was so excited. And actually I was doing voter protection that year, 2018. And so I was in, we call it the boiler room. So like where people would call with folks were having problems at the polls. It was a room full of attorneys and people that knew about voter protection issues and how to make sure that people could cast their ballots. And her race got called, and I was full on sobbing in that room, like no windows or anything. I was so emotional. And then like an hour later, now Secretary Deb Holland, who is an Emerge New Mexico alum.
Wow.
So she won like an hour later. And if you didn't know me, you would have thought I was really upset, but I was just so overcome. I couldn't believe that we had gone from no Native women in Congress to two in like an hour. And it just, I've got chills right now just thinking of those two moments sitting in that room while trying to make sure that other people were getting their ballots cast and counted.
Wow. Go back to what we were saying earlier, too, getting gerrymandered. I know Charisse got gerrymandered the heck out of her, too. And I know a good friend of ours who's been on the show many, many, many times, Ruth Buffalo, got gerrymandered right out of her seat. And are we going to see the end of this soon? And especially in Wisconsin with a new Supreme Court justice?
I mean, we all have our fingers crossed. I mean, now I've mentioned crying on election night a couple of times, but when Justice-elect Protasiewicz got elected and when they called it for her, it was the same kind of like emotion. I was like, is this what hope feels like? it's been so hard for so long. It finally felt like this could be one of the, like a crack that breaks this all up. And, you know, I know that there are groups that are planning to file suit regarding legislative border districts and their borders. And so, you know, fingers crossed that those get there and you know, are, you know, the, not our, the justices are able to, you know, make a decision that's not based on partisanship.
It's, you know,
I was going to say, it's absolutely, you know, mind-boggling again, I don't know if I have the numbers correct. I probably don't, but it seemed like it was like close to 2/3 of the votes in Wisconsin had gone to legislative candidates had gone to Democrats, but it was like 2/3 of Republicans won. And that's probably not, I should take those numbers back. But
there's a weird number in Wisconsin, and maybe you can help me with this. In order for a Democrat to win, they have to have 60% of the vote. In order for a Republican to win, they have to have like 40% of the vote or something like that. That's how gerrymandered it is.
Something like that. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And all the Democrats getting stacked in, you know, packed into very tight districts in especially Dane County and Milwaukee County, which Dane County is where the capital, Madison, is, where I live. And then just everything is, if you look at the lines there's nothing. I mean, we talk about the gold standard being the Iowa model and how, you know, things that they are supposed to consider include, you know, compactness. And you can't look at any of these gerrymandered districts and be like, yeah, that's compact when they sneak around and are like, look, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right.
So fingers crossed on that. When I was Common Council, I was part of our redistricting committee in Madison to decide the wards, as well as which are the building blocks of like all of the other legislative districts, as well as our aldermanic districts. And it was a lot of work and to put in and make sure that you were trying to follow all of the rules that the federal government provides for creating these districts. I mean, and I took that really seriously. It's sad that others.
I was going to say is a couple cycles ago, we were really pumping it up here on Native Roots Radio, and we were getting all the politicians. We had 13 Native American politicians running for office, or we had 14, and 13 of them won.
Nice.
And I remember having Trisha Zunker on, who would have been such a great choice, but she got gerrymandered by, I don't know, can I say this without getting sued? Somebody insane. It was like, what the heck?
It's that district is wild. I also think that if you look at it, you know, there are tribes that were split up in districts at the congressional level, as well as at the state legislative level, you know, by design, I'm sure, to weaken the power of the Native vote. And that makes me really angry. Point where I can't even say anything.
No, I get it. And
vein in my head, like starting to pop out thinking about it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's crazy. But we are hoping that the Gen Zs and having your voice on our show and remind, because I wanted to say this, we outnumber them. We just have to engage our people. I mean, I was a big Bernie supporter, but when that all ended twice, I was a little butthurt, but I moved on because you don't want to be a contrarian because you end up with somebody like Trump.
Exactly. That's and like we said before, you know, there's two names on that ballot for president, and you have to choose one of them. And you know, my choice for in 2020 was I really liked Julian Castro, and he dropped out before I could vote for him, and that made me really sad. But you know, it is what it is, and I was ready to go hard for our now president, and it was awesome. It was great when he won. I still can't believe that.
It was such a relief. Well, Arvenia, thank you so much for being on. I really enjoy these, and these go quick. So, we'll have to have you on a full show soon, but I really appreciate you being on and just having a chat and talking about our families and also how close we are from
CBS News Brief. President Biden says he's optimistic about getting a debt deal done soon.
The consequence of failing to pay our bills would be that American people would have a real kick in their economic well-being. As a matter of fact, the rest of the world would, too. And so we also agree we need to reduce the deficit.
He's meeting with congressional leaders now at the White House. Suspected Idaho killer Brian Koberger was arraigned today. Here's CBS's Danya Backus.
The judge entered a not guilty plea on his behalf and let the 28-year-old criminology graduate student know he could face the death penalty.
Maximum penalties, life in prison, or the death penalty.
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott dropped his plans for 2024 today.
I'm running for president of the United States of America.
Scott's a black Republican. He says he wants to cut spending and restrict abortions. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. One person is dead after a rash of weekend violence in Milwaukee. 10 other people were wounded, including 3 teenagers. Milwaukee police arrested a couple of suspects. Republicans in Washington are pushing for spending cuts in exchange for helping raise the nation's debt ceiling. Senator Ron Johnson tells Upfront on Channel 12 in Milwaukee the prospect of going into default June 1st is a phony crisis.
We have more than enough revenue coming in to pay for our debt servicing, Social Security, probably Medicare. Now, some of these agencies might have to shut down temporarily, but there's no need for a crisis whatsoever.
On the other hand, Democrat Tammy Baldwin says default would lead to interest rate hikes and cuts to crucial programs. In sports, the red-hot Astros bring their 7-game winning streak to Milwaukee tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wox, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Wox. GTWLawyers.com.
Transform yourself and your fitness routine with Soulful Fitness in Brown Deer. With 25 years of experience, Lisa and her team at Soulful Fitness offer personal training in a variety of classes, including nutrition, kickboxing, boot camps, and yoga. You'll find a private, personalized atmosphere that caters to all fitness levels, from personal training sessions to virtual classes and everywhere in between. For fitness that's personal, visit soulfulfitness.com. That's SOLFUL fitness.com.
Okay, let's get real.
Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired at your dead-end job? Want to stop worrying about money, health insurance? Get peace of mind right here, right now. Here's your chance to earn while you learn. Get smart. Call Smart Local 18 to learn how easy it is to be happy again to go to work. No matter what your situation is, everyone everywhere deserves an opportunity. Call now, 262-798-1818. That's 262-798-1818.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over on. If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then.
The 2.0 Radio. Now my show will be on Saturdays from 10 to 11 and replayed on Sundays from 1 to 2. You will get to the best of Ellie 2.0 with talking about idealism, with guests who come in and who are idealistic, who are trying to change the world, and you will get me, Super Idealist. Tune in. We can't wait to hear from you, and you'll hear from me Saturdays from 10 to 11.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 63, sunshine Tuesday with a high of 83, then partly cloudy Tuesday night with a low of 59. Celebrate the arrival of summer with a great meal at an Eat Local Minnesota restaurant, perfect for any occasion. Check out the list of Eat Local Minnesota restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they are. And wow, we're really excited to always have Dr. Stately stop in and give us his wisdom. And I have to congratulate you both. Haley and I were at your 20th anniversary celebration. And what an awesome celebration that was. And thank you for the invite.
Oh, thank you for coming. It was awesome to see you there and nice to meet Haley in person on that day. It was kind of a cold day, though, huh?
Yeah. I was wearing shorts and I was shivering. So they were sacred shorts, though, Dr. Stately.
Yeah, I'm sure. never mind. I was going to say something and I just realized it's a little slightly inappropriate. So
yeah, this is not NPR. You can't say those things.
Yeah, we'll leave it like right there. Let the audience use their imagination.
Exactly.
I was going to say they're very holy. Just kidding.
Oh,
it was a beautiful day and it was such a hub of activity. And it was, I saw so many faces I hadn't seen in a while. And I also met some new people and had some great conversations. It was a lot of fun, a great celebration. On that day, we honored our founders. So the four practitioners that established NAC, the ones that sort of, put their heart and soul into the beginning of the, clinic at their humble beginnings. We had, like, when we first started out, apparently, I've read newspaper reports, but also talked to the original CEO, who was Dr. Lydia Carlos, and they had one little tiny, part in that big strip mall that used to be part of Dollar Tree. And I think at one point in time it was a Walgreens. At one point in time there was an auto shop and a few other things in the strip mall. They all four of them, left IHB in 2003, helped establish that clinic. Response to the community was, loud and excited and very committed, like, we need you to stay in our community. And here we are 20 years later, and we have a lot of the same that spirit that started the clinic is alive and well in our clinic. We work really hard to have good relationships with our community people.
Yes, and I think you do. Everyone I ran into that works with you and just totally positive and very welcoming and on a mission of goodness. It's funny, we talk about Franklin Avenue and you and I haven't really talked deep about Franklin Avenue the way it used to be and how that's changed over the years. Bars and all those Indian bars and the police arresting people out of the back.
Yep. So different than what it was when I was a young boy. I grew up I was born in 1962. So 60 years ago.
Whoa.
grew up on Franklin Avenue for the most part. My parents were products of, Relocation Act that encouraged people to move off the reservation to urban locations. My grandparents' home as a child, my grandparents, my mother's my great grandparents. It was my mother's grandparents, Paul and Margaret LaRocque. They had a house across the street from Holy Rosary Church in South High School, the original South High School, which is now where Littler sits.
Wow.
And I remember being a little boy and playing, you know, on that block. And we would sit on my grandparents' front porch, and we would throw rocks, not at the church. So, for those holy rollers, just kind of calm down. But South High was like closed because they were building a new South High to the south up by where the current location is. But we'd throw rocks at that building and break windows. And, you know, the game was like who could get the highest, you know, and break some of those highest windows way at the top of the school. And I was just a little tiny kid, so I didn't get to, you know, break a whole lot of windows, but my older brothers and sisters did. But, you know, those times are different then. And Franklin Avenue was almost all bars or liquor stores, mm-hmm. right? And I think in a 4 or 5 block stretch between, you know, Bloomington Avenue to like Chicago,
mm-hmm.
you know, just an alliteration of bars and liquor stores. And that's kind of how I grew up when I was living in South Minneapolis as a child.
Right.
And then I went away in my early 20s, and came back in my mid-40s after I had kids, and it was completely different. I was really floored at the transformation. You know, some of that stuff had started taking place by the time I left. The shopping center that NAC is part of, which is now called the Ancient Traders Market, but you know, that was built by the American Indian Business Development Corporation. And my sister Becky, my older sister Becky, was roommates with Brenda Draves, who was the executive director of AIC BDC. And I remember the day that that shopping mall opened, right,
mm-hmm.
as a young man, and just barely, I think, just out of college, maybe in 1980 something.
Mm-hmm.
So things have really, really transformed.
Were you in town when, and I believe that was the early 90s, when the police threw the Native Americans in the trunk to arrest them? Do you remember that? Or were you weren't in town then?
No, but I remember hearing stories about it. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, but you know, AIM started because women in our community got together because they were tired of hearing horror stories about their men and their sons and other folks in our community, you know, being, you know, targeted, beaten by cops, you know, just the horrible things that have been happening all throughout their late 60s, early 70s, mid 60s. It was the height of the civil rights movement, right? So all across America and all on our TVs, we were seeing the civil rights sort of movement happen and all of the sort of like the, communities in both urban and rural areas standing up to discrimination against Black people. And we weren't really seeing that type of sort of movement in urban areas or in reservation communities against tribes, right, and tribal people.
Mm-hmm.
And those, that was the impetus, I think, for, you know, for AIM, which initially I think was called, my mom said it was called Concerned Indian Americans, and then they realized it was, the acronym was CIA, and they're like, well, we don't want to be confused with those people.
Right, exactly. Well, and then, too, you had the Black Panthers and, you know, radical groups like that that were coming out that a lot of the leaders were looking at with all the movement that they were having. And it was pretty, pretty exciting times. But also, I think a lot of us Natives were feeling a little left out. And so that's part of starting American Indian Movement, too, with the elders' blessings. I do have to throw that out there too. And that's one of the things, me being an elder now, looking at the elders then, they had their elders.
Yeah, for sure. That's a big part of that history. And we don't often talk about that a whole lot in our community. I think we also don't talk about it. So it's not, you know, the things that are true about like the beginnings of the movement and all of those things that sort of were the catalyst for that movement are not things that are as quite as sexy as, you know, the things that kind of came in the, you know, the early 70s all the way up through the 80s, right? Like, you know, hearing that elders, you know, sort of kind of like talk to the younger people, those younger adults, give them their blessing, encouragement, you know, to stand up and protect their communities and their people and their families. That's not quite as sexy as like Wounded Knee, right? So those are the things that like stand out in our history because, you know, those are the things that were reported in like, you know, you know, our CBS News, Walter Cronkite, you know, and right. those kinds of things. Well, those are definitely pivotal times, but I think what oftentimes gets overlooked is the groundswell, right? The things that had happened that built up the momentum and the energy to sort of like step into space and transform it. And we come from in Minnesota, we and in South Minneapolis specifically, we emerged from that primordial ooze, that sort of that, you know, that warrior spirit, step up and protect your elders, protect your children, protect the community, protect our culture and language. And that's that impetus to sort of like step forward and speak up and do what's right. necessary, right? And I'd like to think that that spirit lives inside me, right? You know, that spirit that my mother and many of my relatives had.
Well, it definitely does. And I was just going to mention that not only you, but we have like people like Stephanie Autumn, who was young during mm-hmm. Wounded Knee, mm-hmm. who's still doing things, but it's just not the mm-hmm. fanfare. And, you know, we had Madonna Thunderhawk on last week, and she was talking about, you know, raising your children is mm-hmm. in the right way, doing things in yeah. community and not with the fanfare is being yeah, a warrior. Yeah. And I think, you yeah. know, we don't need a TV camera to see that Dr. Stately's doing all these great things for the community. So it's a shift. But sometimes, like with Standing Rock, we had to pull out a can of you know what, you know, and really dig in our heels and let people know all over the world that we're still here. So why don't we take a quick break, Dr. Stately? I'm here with Dr. Stately, CEO of Native American Community Clinic, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org. Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda.
and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
Wow. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately and the CEO of Native American Community Clinic. And also, I just have a quick update here from State Representative Jamie Becker-Finn. Leech Lake Health and Wellness Center in Cass Lake just passed the Minnesota legislature. This is 8 minutes ago, a $24 million grant to Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe for the center that will provide health, wellness, community gatherings, and opportunities. And I know Dr. Stately has been working hard with his clinic in dealing with the legislature, and there's great things happening down the line for Native American Community Clinic. And Dr. Stately, are you on right now? That would be a no. So, you know, Haley, Dr. Stately was talking about the history of AIM, and we were talking a lot about, you know, what AIM has done, but also to be a warrior, to be a warrior is many different facets. There's many different ways to be a facet. Dr. Stately, are you there?
Right.
There he is.
And I think like what he was saying too, like just feeling that in your soul, the warrior spirit that was, you know, instilled by our ancestors. I think a lot of us can agree with that, that we feel that too, that warrior.
Exactly. Dr. Stately, are you here? Looks like he's muted. And again, what great news for Leech Lake, which is for our relatives listening to us all over the country, here is northern Minnesota. And it's up there where we need help on our reservations. And it looks like the state of Minnesota is coming through with this bill, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really, really good thing to have that happen. And with the trifecta, Haley, we've been really blessed and lucky to have all these really good things happening in a good way here in Minnesota. And I know the Republicans want to give back the money to rich people and, you know, the 1% that doesn't pay anything in taxes, but yet the Democrats right. have always been for the underdog and the poor person. So
right.
That's a thing that we always have to remain, because they may be speaking one way, meaning the Republicans, but they sure act the other way. And we are so blessed to have the trifecta here in Minnesota. I know I say that over and over and over again, but we really are blessed here in Minnesota. Hey, welcome back, Dr. Stately.
Hey there, welcome back. Sorry. I have the worst internet in Prior Lake. Like, I would tell anybody writ large in the state of Minnesota, don't move to Prior Lake if you want to get internet. Yeah. Move to the communities around it.
Somebody's jumping on your internet and knocking you off, probably driving around the neighborhood trying to find you.
No, there's that too. And we only have like two little tiny internet providers in Prior Lake. They're not any of the big ones. They're like two smaller ones, Mediacom and Nuvera, which arguably are not like mom and pop shops, but they certainly function like it. Like, we have the worst internet. Like, we need fiber cable out here. Like, I hope that the Gov, who just passed that big, huge infrastructure bill, puts the money in there for fiber optics for smaller communities, because be nice to have, you know, to rely on those two squirrels that have to run in the backyard to produce the.
Well, I think, I don't know if you've been keeping track, but I just saw on Facebook, Jamie Becker-Finn put up this thing that Leech Lake Health and Wellness Center just passed 12 minutes ago, a $24 million grant to Leech Lake. So I believe your clinic's up next here very soon, and it's an exciting
time. Well, it was a part of the same bill. Part of the same bill. I think it just passed the House. So the bill goes on to the governor's office for signature. So once that's done, I think.
Well, I'm wondering, how do we get in that? How do I get in that?
There's a few native cloud objects in there.
How do I get in that photo op? Do I just stand in there looking like the custodian from a Native American community clinic?
There you go. We're your janitor, you know.
Yep. Like my dickies.
From out there.
Yeah.
There you go, your dickies. And, you know, I guess you're not supposed to call them janitors anymore. That's, I guess, such a 1980 term. It's like, you know, industrial agent or something like that. I don't know what they call them.
Well, I know they used to be called custodial engineers, and that's people that had the engineer that could run the boilers. That's what my dad did for 30 years in public schools.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you that about the, like, so, like, our kind of got in a little bit and then I got kicked off again. You guys are talking about warrior spirit and stuff. And I think that stuff is embedded in our DNA as Native people. You know, we are, you know, it's part of our original instructions. It's part of, like, you know, who we are taught to be and our value structure, which is, like, you know, protect our vulnerable ones, right? That whole concept of, like, the buffalo in the storm, the vulnerable people go to the middle and the warriors surround them, the people who are the strongest, and we push through adversity and we get to the other side. And that's kind of like how we've always been. It's part of how we sort of survived, as long as we've survived in the face of 500-600 years of colonization and, you know, genocide, right? But I was going to say that NAC is hosting a community camp next weekend during Memorial Day weekend for young Native men from the ages of, I think, 18 to 30. And it's called the Young Warriors Camp. We did this in response to people telling us that they felt like there was very little services for young men. And that young men were feeling dispirited and having really difficult times during the last several years. And that, you know, we needed to create some programming for young men to sort of, like, help them to begin to think through, be in spaces and places with older men, elder men who are, you know, walking in that good way every single day and demonstrating what it means to be a good, to be a modern day warrior, what that looks like. Doesn't look like, you know, going to fisticuffs and, you know, shooting bullets at each other and, you know, burning down buildings and those kinds of things. Warriorhood was about the protection of women, the protection of elders, the protection of children, our language, our culture, our right to, exist and to practice our cultural life ways. That's the bigger part of warriorhood. And I think, you know, what we're trying to do with this in camp, with this camp for young Native men, is to sort of.
Yeah. And Dr. Stately just froze up, but I feel like too, doing the right thing and being supportive in the right thing, doing the right thing is not always the easiest thing. And I think our young warriors need to be reminded, and just like everybody else, but it's important, you know, because when I was young, I didn't always do the right thing, but I did the quickest thing or the immediate gratification thing and things like that. But to have supportive community, people patting you on the back and saying you're doing a good job, it's a good thing what you're doing, is really important. And I'm sure Dr. Stately and his group are feeling that around too, to help our young warriors, because that is just so important. And you know, it's one of those things where Dr. Stately needs better internet, Haley. That's all I have
to say. He does. He needs that fiber optic.
Nobody wants to hear me ramble on. That's why we have such great guests like Dr. Stately. And here I am rambling on. And they go, well, how did Robert Pilot get a radio show? He's, like, really incoherent and can't complete sentences. But that's part of it.
Fiber optic, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I got the fiber optics, so I'm, like, way ahead of half of you people out there. But hey, you. I want to just say, you know, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote like you're a Gen Z. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. As Wendy always says, free Leonard Peltier now.
Now.
Transform yourself and your fitness routine with Soulful Fitness in Brown Deer. With 25 years of experience, Lisa and her team at Soulful Fitness offer personal training in a variety of classes, including nutrition, kickboxing, boot camps, and yoga. You'll find a private, personalized atmosphere that caters to all fitness levels, from personal training sessions to virtual classes and everywhere in between. For fitness that's personal, visit soulfulfitness.com. That's S-O-L-F-U-L fitness.com.
We're all familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.